consensus that many of the conditions should go away.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, that's one thing that's likely to happen in this proceedings.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand out to my colleagues and then to Carla to hand to you a requested condition from Portland Parks and Recreation. Because it's not clear to me why the hearings officer didn't include this or why the staff report doesn't recommend.
Do you need a copy of this?
It's coming around.
Okay.
Thank you. So basically, Portland Parks, this memorandum dated April 16th from to Mark Moffat from Brett Horner in Portland Parks and Recreation says goal 8H of the 2035 comprehensive plan states all Portlanders have safe, convenient, and equitable access to high-quality parks, natural areas, trails, and recreational opportunities in their daily lives, which contribute to their health and well-being. The city manages its natural areas and urban forests to protect urban unique urban habitats and offer Portlanders an opportunity to connect with nature. To support this goal, Portland Parks and Recreation requests as a condition of approval of this proposal and any future application that the applicant be required by Development Services to maintain public access to and from the existing stairway in Portland Heights Park that connects to the western property edge of the subject site, and also to review any applications to ensure the proposed development allows for safe, inclusive accessibility to this pedestrian connection. And do you have any comments on that condition?
So just reading it, some concerns. I don't know that there's a dedicated public access currently on this property. And there are existing, I think, improved sidewalks completely surrounding this site and accessing the park. So the concern would be not knowing where this access is. I don't know how we would design a site if the access went right through the middle of the site to
there isn't an accessway. It's just basically that from the parking lot of the grocery store, that's how you get to the top of the stairs. Now, there is access from the sidewalk, but it's a minimum. I know that parks would like to see if there is a residential-only building on this property that the residents of that building could get directly to the park without having to go out and back and round.
Sure. So what I understand about this is that right now it's a parking lot, but upon redevelopment there won't be that parking lot. So the concern would be to understand exactly where the access point would be, how it would be even possible to design around it. And then I think, and I could be wrong about this, so it's really more appropriate to ask the BDS planner, but as I understood it, this was requested down below, and the answer was that this would be determined at the time of the redevelopment proposal to see if the use that was being proposed was related to a park access condition, and then there would be some conversation about that.
Okay.
But I'm not positive.
Thank you very much. I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment. I appreciate those, and I'll ask the planner. Thank you very much.
Great.
Before you leave, so has the applicant or you ever sat down with the Southwest Hills Residential League and talked about their newest proposal?
No, not a newest proposal. There was a suggestion for a meeting a couple of days before this hearing, but that meeting was canceled because it was preconditioned on grocery only. And we just can't live with a grocery only condition. We can live with some minimum, at least a commitment to some minimum level of neighborhood serving retail, which of course does not preclude or prohibit reaching the maximum under the trip cap and CM1 zoning. And when you apply a minimum and you get one user in there, there's the potential that more users come, as you heard testimony, and feed off of that user. So this could be one way of a clear path.
So you can't commit to the grocery only
no.
condition because of your experience to date, of the applicant's experience to date trying to
Market to a grocer, there's no viable way we can redevelop this property with a grocer. And the kind of grocers we're talking about have square footages that obviously they don't think are supportable on this property, even at a free rent.
But you can do two stories above whatever's on the ground floor.
Not really. So if you do retail, it's generally, I mean, you could modify this, but generally in the industry, retail is ground floor and 18-foot floor to floors to invite that ground floor window environment. The height limit is 35 feet. So you can't put two floors of residential within 35 feet above a ground floor of retail. That's not how this site would ultimately be designed.
The model, but the Green Zebra at Portland State has housing above it.
Yeah, for sure, but they don't have a 35-foot height restriction. We have 35 feet total. So you could keep going, but you have that height limitation. So what I'm saying is if you have retail on the ground floor and you're taking 18 of those feet, you have 17 left. You can't get two floors of residential and 17 feet, so you'd have one floor of residential, so it would be a lower density residential if you were to go all across the site with the ground floor retail, but I'm not sure that would be the right proposal either. The point is the CM1 zoning allows you maybe to mix and match that.
So, you know, it sounds like we're going to close the record today, but I'm a little concerned that there hasn't been this conversation with the neighborhood about alternatives. And there's a proposal that we haven't had a chance to really evaluate. Ultimately, we're going to have to make a decision, and that includes whether there's additional conditions of approval. Is there a value in first giving the applicant and the neighborhood a chance to sit down and have that conversation? Or are we at a point where you don't think that would be advantageous?
So let me be clear. There have been previous conversations with the neighborhood, but as to whatever was handed you, and I understand and sympathize with what was said when that was presented. It's difficult to get everybody together, and we have heard very divergent opinions. So I will say that I'm not left with a great level of confidence that when we meet, we'll figure out those that want grocery store and not grocery store, just retail or some minimum square footage. What we're telling you today is we are definitely able to agree to what we have stated here as a condition of approval, knowing that it is a minimum and not a maximum.
But you would be willing to sit down with them?
Always willing to sit down with neighbors, but we have to be clear about where we think that might head, given the previous conversations. I have not seen the proposal.
Well, I heard a starting point here. If I could, Southwest Hills Residential League, the SRL board position is to support the removal of the grocery store only and 24 related conditions in exchange for a new mixed-use grocery conditions to maintain some neighborhood retail space. And then they go on more specifics. But I believe I heard you indicate that that first part is actually okay.
Yes,
with your
that we
client.
Maintain some retail, not grocery, but retail.
I share what Commissioner Fish said. It feels like just by virtue of the fact that we've had this hearing, it feels like the parties are moving closer together.
So, but Mayor, 1500 is not acceptable as a.
So no, and I heard that, but at least there's not diametric opposition. That's not what I'm hearing.
So the council's been asked to decide this question. Just to be clear, Mayor, at 4:30, I have to go.
Understood.
We will decide this question. We have a history of making tough decisions. I would prefer to make the decision knowing what the best option on the table is that the neighborhood could agree to and the best option that the applicant could agree to, and then being able to decide how we're going to reconcile those two if they're not aligned.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem to me the stakes are pretty high on this one, and so I would urge that we give the neighborhood and the applicant a chance, a brief window, Mayor, to have a follow-up conversation, come back, close the record, come back to council with options that have been discussed, with the understanding that those would be presented to us in advance of the next hearing date, and council will decide this question. We will decide based on what either has been tentatively agreed to, or if there's no agreement, then we'll do what we normally do, which is we'll make our best judgments.
Yep.
Well, first of all, I'll ask the applicant's representative, does that seem from your perspective like a viable path forward? At least would you accept that if that's what we decide?
Without turning around and looking at my client, I'm always wanting to be optimistic that there's an easier path that we can pursue here that meets everyone's needs and interests. I am a little tiny bit pessimistic here because you're hearing grocery, 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 and we cannot do a grocery.
And Commissioner Fish is saying at the end of the day what we may end up with is two final positions.
Yeah, and you make the call.
The council will have clear reference points on where the two baselines
are. I wouldn't extend this more than 30 days. If you're a little skeptical, I would say 30 days is plenty of time to have those conversations, have a time certain, We've done this recently, not that long ago, where
yes.
we required
right.
close the record, required submissions from just as to potential conditions. Give us your best shot, and then we decide the case.
Exactly. I'd like to.
I would prefer that outcome.
I'd like to ask legal counsel, having heard this, what your advice to us would be.
If the parties are amenable, there's no. We don't have a 120-day clock for a comprehensive plan map amendment, so you have the flexibility to do that if you think it would be fruitful to come back for a time and date certain, and that wouldn't require us to send additional notice.
Okay. And if we wished, we could close the record today.
You could close the record today.
And they could still have that conversation. And then if there was, I'm just being hypothetical, some compromise or a proposed alternative, that would then be put on the table.
We could reopen the record for that.
With a reopening of the record
yes.
for
I mean,
that
I think
specific proposal.
I think that's a good idea to close the record today so we're not continuing to get new material
right.
in, but anticipate that you will have to reopen it to take more testimony from the parties about what their final
The Mayor, what
position
I would
is.
Propose, just by way of a just to test a sort of straw man here, straw person, is that we close the record. We continue the hearing for 30 days. We give the parties, the applicant, the neighborhood a chance to meet, encourage them to give us submissions as to their best position mm-hmm. prior, a couple days, several days prior to our reconvened date, with the understanding that we would then reopen the record to hear those proposals, and then council would deliberate and make a decision.
Commissioner Fritz would like to hear from staff as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, you dropped your ID there.
Wow. Oh, we had to bring these today for the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a special day. It's Portland City Hall. It's Wednesday.
So before we close the record, if you come back up, please, I want to make it clear that I did put in my analysis of what the comprehensive plan, the new comprehensive plan, says in regards to this application. So that's in the record, and both sides' attorneys have them. From City Development Services, is there a minimum density in the CM1 zone?
There is no minimum density.
So it's actually... complete, it's possible that one single-family home could be put on this property?
Correct. I mean, yeah, whether the market would
and
result
if the,
in that or not.
Could there be 17 single-family homes on it? Or is it limited to multifamily?
You could. I mean, single-family homes have to be on their own lot. That'd be a subdivision, but
they could come back with a subdivision.
Condos or 17 units on there.
And that's allowed in a CM1 as well?
Yes.
Wow.
There's no unit limit. It's just an FAR, so 1.5 to 1 of the site area.
Okay.
So it's basically a three-story building on there. It wouldn't be able to cover the whole site. That would be kind of the max.
And I'm correct in thinking before the Strohackers got the conditions of approval, it was zoned R5.
Right. The 1984 change was to go from residential that had been since the store opened in 1902 to the CN2 zone.
And at the time, the neighborhood was very much opposed to that, and these conditions were intended to put some sideboards around it.
I wasn't there, and the 1980s records have very little in terms of findings and stuff. We just have the ordinance, basically.
Yeah.
But
that's
you,
what
you,
I get. That
you,
was
you
my
see
deduction.
The results speak for themselves, I suppose. What I would
my
say.
Deduction was, and I think the applicant's attorney said that it was intended to be a restriction rather than a requirement. Ms. Eichinger, sorry if I'm mashing your name, notice the encumbrance, because in a sense, these conditions are encumbrances, which the Strohackers agreed to. And I'm thinking back, Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman, in our comprehensive plan process. If somebody had come to us in the comprehensive plan process and said, this entire neighborhood is zoned R5, and we want to do this one lot of CM1, I think the answer might have been no. But because it was already in an existing use, that's why we then changed the CN2 into the CM1. So I appreciate Commissioner Fish's suggestion for how we move forward. And I'm also thinking that a single multifamily dwelling unit without any retail there is not in compliance with the comprehensive plan. And certainly one single family home on a massive lot by a park is not what I envision the highest and best use for a lot, which is what we were thinking of in the comprehensive plan. What are the highest and best uses for this? So in the process where you do this, and I would suggest you have some mediation, some facilitation to have this conversation, I would like you to consider the Portland Parks condition of approval or requested? And if that's not what they've said is not feasible, could there be something that would be indicative that this development on this lot needs to relate to the park in some way?
I will just mention, because it's a little bit of a mystery why the condition went away, the hearings, the staff had reworded this condition from parks to be slightly different, requiring them to coordinate with parks on the public access, and then suggesting that they provide vehicle ownership or vehicle parking for parks users off hours, provided they met the joint use parking requirement, which is just something parks didn't catch up on, but when you want to have someone else use your parking, you have to give us a little analysis that says there's room for both, basically.
Right.
So as long as they could show us that there was room for both, the condition said, yeah, you should, you know, provide parks parking. And to be clear, what that condition would require would be a minimum 6-foot walkway running from kind of the top of the stairs all along that western property line out to Patton Road. That would be sort of the minimum requirement. Your walkway has to be 6 feet wide. You've got to get from the stairs to the street.
Well, if you could include those discussions in your mediation to figure out if you can come back with a package of conditions of approval that either everybody can agree with or something that addresses the park's concern when you come back to council. Thank you.
Okay.
I had a question also. Yeah. So if we heard testimony about the 35-foot height limit, if there were a mixed-use redevelopment that included affordable housing, is there a higher height limit it could be built to?
You do get, and I didn't bring the code, but you do get extra FAR. You do not get the extra height in CM1. So CM1 was the one zone where you don't get bonus height. All the other commercial zones, CM2, CM3, CE, you get another 10 feet of height. But CM1, no matter what you do, you never get that bonus height.
Okay. But we're here at the City Council. We make the rules. So that might be part of the discussion, too, that would if an additional height would allow a ground floor grocery in exchange for more housing on top, would that be acceptable? And that's something I think you should think about.
Okay.
All right. So the path forward, as I understand it, and I'm not doing this. I just want to put it out on the table and make sure we got it right. And I'm specifically looking at the city attorney. We will close the record today. We will continue both the report and the ordinance to, we'll say, a month from now. And Carla will work on a specific date. Some number of days prior, we will receive effectively the last positions. Is that a fair way of putting it? Of both parties. We will then reconvene on that date certain and time certain that Carla will find us. We will reopen the record very specifically to hear those two proposals and take testimony on those two specific proposals or no.
So one of the things we need to clarify is that it's clear who the applicant is. It's not necessarily clear who the party is on the other side. And I'm not sure if that's the neighborhood association that you're anticipating getting a proposal for or somebody else. So I think that would need to be clarified as well.
Mayor, I would limit the testimony to just the parties that submit the actual party that submits any proposal so that for the purpose of making sure we understand what the proposal is. But then I think we go right to deliberations.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get some clarification on is who would be bringing the proposal back. I'm not clear on that yet. I think the concept makes a lot of sense to me, and I think Carla's already looked at some dates that might work, but I do think you need to have some clarity on who we anticipate would be submitting something.
And who would be participating in the mediation? So the who would be participating in the mediation, it seems to me, could be designated by the neighborhood association since they're being represented. If we decide a number of people, they can work with Ms. Richter, whomever else they want to have the people that they want at the table.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Okay. Since they are the designated and recognized neighborhood community group. Thank you.
So in terms of having this group of council members back, Carla has identified that September 6th in the afternoon is at
2 p.m.
2 p.m. is really our only option in the weeks before and after that. So that's not quite 30 days, but it's close. And then we would ask for the submission of best offers by the 4th we could do, which is a couple days before that. And those would go to the council clerk. So the record would be closed up until September 4th, open to allow those submissions, and then we would deal with reopening the record for testimony on the 6th.
At our discretion. We would take more testimony if it's at our discretion.
Correct. I suppose if the proposals are self-explanatory and you don't need to hear from anybody, you wouldn't necessarily need to take additional testimony.
My preference is not to have dueling proposals and lots of testimony. It is to have a self-contained document with a proposal, hopefully one that's a consensus document, but if not, your best shot, and then we're able to have a deliberation, which is all we're doing is postponing our deliberations.
So they would go in by close of business on September 4th?
Yes, so 5 o'clock, Carla?
Yes, that's the Tuesday, September 4th, 5 p.m.
And that gives you one day, development services staff to look and city attorney staff before the hearing on the 6th. Is that enough time?
I mean, literally, we'd be, like, emailing you the stuff the morning of the 5th. Right, the day after we got morning.
Which would be sitting in council all day.
It would certainly be to the benefit of both of the parties to be talking with BDS staff as they go so that it's not a surprise what we're seeing on the 4th, but yeah. I mean, we could have it the week prior, to have it due before Labor Day if we want to, but I don't think we're going to be working on it over Labor Day weekend.
Well, typically, that might be the only time I would be able to work on it. So if you could have it in by the end of close of business on the 31st, because I don't think it's unlikely that they'll be doing any mediation meetings over the Labor Day weekend. That would be helpful.
I'll just throw this out, our usual deadline is noon Thursday the week before. That's so you guys get it usually on Monday because there's all these steps involved. But.
Yeah, we're just trying to strike the balance between giving the community and the applicant enough time versus giving you enough time. We take a 5-minute recess for the applicant's attorney and the neighborhood association to huddle.
Why don't we do that? Let's take a 5-minute recess.
So, Mayor, whatever you agree on, that's fine.
I'm fine.
We're good on this.